Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
A 2-2 to Tomei from Blackburn, a swing and a high fly ball, deep center field. Running back, Gomez, he's at the track, he's at the wall, gone! Tomei lights it up, Sox lead 1-0. He's hit his 34th, straightaway center.
I believe that would be the only run scored in the blackout game off of Nick Blackburn, the White Sox winning that memorable night at U.S. Cellular Field. Dan Evans had known Ed Farmer as well and for as long a time perhaps as anybody in the baseball business. And he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You can follow Dan on Twitter at DanEvans108. How you been, Dan?
How are you doing, guys? I mean, you just made me smile for the first time this morning playing that call with Eddie.
Well, what were your thoughts when you first heard? I know he'd been in failing health for some time, and those who'd been in touch with him had known that he had been fighting an uphill battle. But when that call comes, it's never easy.
Yeah, I got a phone call real early this morning. And, you know, there's certain people that touch your life in a different way. And the White Sox fans need to know that Eddie was exactly who you thought he was listening to him on the radio. I mean, he was the kindest, most compassionate person I've ever met. And it's not close. That's just who he was. And a quick story, and it just tells you all about him. It's opening day 1981. I'm a 20-year-old junior at DePaul University, starting an internship with the White Sox, an internship that would last 19 years. And, you know, I was naive. I was scared. You guys both remember your first day in a pro clubhouse. You're like, I don't know the rules. I don't know the etiquette. I don't know the people. What the hell am I doing here? And Ed walks up to me. And I know who he is. I'm living in the city. I know he's the closer for the White Sox. And he walks up to me. He says, "Hi, I'm Ed Farmer." And I said, "Hi, nice to meet you." And he said, "Listen, I can tell you're new here. What's your name? And what are you doing?" So I told him. And he said, "Well, listen, I remember my first day in a big league clubhouse." And he says, "You're working for great people. Roland Heeman's one of the best people I've ever met in my life." And he said, "Anything I can do for you to make it a little easier, please just come up and reach out to me." Now, guys, people don't do that, okay? And that started a 40-year relationship that I just cherish. And all I keep thinking about is the smiles and the pranks and the golf and the brilliance in his baseball mind. But what I really remember is just this incredible bond that I had with a guy who, you know, just really embraced life and was such a special person.
If you, Dan, I imagine you talk around baseball, you talk to people who met Ed the same way you did. A lot of folks have a story about Ed coming up to them and making sure that they felt comfortable because that's what Ed wanted. I mean, I was talking earlier, I'd broadcast with Ed doing the pre and post for about 2 years, and his broadcast booth was filled with people who I'm sure had stories similar to yours in its tone and welcoming kind of nature. And people would just flock up there because Ed let it be known that that door was open for them. It's just, I suppose that's just kind of the way he was, whether he was playing or not.
Oh, Connor, you nailed it. And you know what? You knew you were Ed's friend if you were Ed's friend. And you know, most people are casual in relationships, and we all fall into that rut. He was never casual with his friendship. I'll tell you guys a really funny story. So I'm the GM of the Dodgers opening day 2002. We lose 9-2. It's a day game, and I'm just so pissed off. You know, he's played crappy in front of 55,000 people. And I'm walking back to my office, and my cell phone rings, and it's Farmer. And you can't not take Ed Farmer's phone call. So I pick it up, and he goes, "Hey." And I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he said, "Hey, you got to find out who the new GM of the Dodgers is." He said, "Did he put together a pathetic team?" And, you know, I'm laughing, but there's a lot of fans around. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to be laughing after a 9-2 opening day loss. And I said to him, I said, "Well, at least you got the score right." And he said to me, he says, "Hey, I'm going to make a prediction right now. Before the season's over, you're going to win your first game as a GM." And I said, "Well, Edward, I got news for you. If I don't, you're going to have to come and play a lot of golf with me." I want to tell another funny story, though, about him that to me is just one of the Ed Farmer stories that I'll never forget. It's one of my most fun life moments. If you hung with Ed a lot, you were his buddy, you played a lot of golf with him, and I'm thankful. I mean, Danny, I think you know, I played a ton of golf with Edward and played some of the greatest courses in the world with him. And Eddie could really play. And I was about a 12, so I would scuffle. So we had a guy in our group one day. It was just he and I were playing with two members, and we were on a course in San Francisco. Or no, in New York. And the guy had a terrible shot and threw his club into the water. And Eddie looks at me and he says to the guy, he goes, "You're not good enough to throw a golf club." He said, you're just not good enough to throw a club and be aggravated about your round. He said, "I want you to go get that club." And the guy laughed and he's all pissed off. He takes his shoes off and he goes and he gets the club for the guy. And he hands it to him and he says to him, "I got news for you, pal. It's not the club." And oh my God, we laughed so hard. Well, this guy in two holes later just about holes out, and from the tee box he says, "All right, throw it now, let's see it, come on, throw it now." And the four of us, I was laughing so hard I was crying. So we got in the car to go back, and we had a game in New York that night. We had a game with the Yanks, and Eddie says to me, he says, "You know, Danny, when I was a kid, my mom used to say to me, you have to be really good to be mad at yourself for not doing something athletically." He said, "Because most of the time you fail." And I said, "Yeah, but Eddie," I said, "this guy, you should have seen the look on his face when you started walking after the club." And he says to me, he says, "I just wanted to prove a point to him that it wasn't that big a deal." And that's who Ed Farmer was. He was just... honestly, the most fun person. The pranks that he pulled, oh my God, guys. I was the victim many times. April Fool's Day was frightening. I mean, you were on high alert. You talk about red alert with the TSA guys. Oh my God, red alert with Ed Farmer on April Fool's. It was frightening. You just didn't know what was coming next.
We're talking with longtime White Sox executive and former Dodgers general manager Dan Evans of the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score. I mentioned earlier on, Dan, about it's odd for me because I remember so vividly as a young and impressionable White Sox fan, I was 10 years old when the Al Cowens incident occurred. And in the same game, you know, he obliterates Al Cowens. He broke Frank White's wrist in the same game. And my image of him as a kid, as a little kid, was he was fearsome. And this, I mean, really kind of edgy, nasty. And then later on in life, when I got to know him, I still had to overcome what 10-year-old me had on his brain because of watching him and knowing what that national story of this guy, this vicious pitcher and moving people off the plate and throwing at their face. So it was sort of a process for me to realize, you know, and part of it is being in sports media that people are people and people are complicated. But as a fan, I always thought of him as this fearsome presence when he was actually so gentle.
Hey, Danny, that is a fabulous impression, because I had the same growing up in Chicago, just like you. You know, I'm just a little bit older than you, and I had the same impression of the Collins incident. So I was honestly shocked when he came up to me in the clubhouse, because I thought he was this absolutely fear-mongering, just, you know, mysteriously nasty guy. And instead he pulls that. So I get to know him a little bit that year, and I asked him one day. And, you know, he just said, hey, when I was on the field, it was absolutely a battle. And just working with him, Dan, as, you know, I'm the assistant GM. He's our special assistant at the time. He was intensely competitive. I got to travel with the club a little bit in 81. I just lucked out. And, you know, I saw a side of Ed, the competitive side, that, you know, was just intense. And I respected it because it was consistent. And it showed up in his broadcasting, and we all giggle. I mean, any of us who've listened to him, I gave him a hard time last year. I'm driving to the Field of Dreams last year, and he and Darren, I love the two of them a ton. And they're in a really bad game, and you could just hear it in Eddie's voice. So I pulled off to the side of the road on the 88 driving over to Iowa, and I text him, and I said, I just love that I can turn on the radio and I know the score without knowing the score from your voice. And he texted me back and he said, it's only the fourth inning. and I just thought, that's Eddie. Well, it got worse. So I texted him when I crossed the Iowa border, and I texted him and I said, this potpourri of mopery is really pretty funny. And he said, Darren and I just wear it on our sleeves. And, you know, the thing about Ed and Danny, you nailed it. You know, you knew where Ed stood all the time. He wasn't passive aggressive. He told you, you know, if he was mad at you, he told you. And he also just cared. And, you know, a lot of us in sports get really lucky and get to do some really fun things. I mean, we get to meet people we shouldn't meet, but we also get to touch the lives of people whose lives aren't as positive and aren't as wonderful as ours are. And the one thing about Ed is he never lost that. So whenever there was someone in need or someone that was struggling, or he found out that you were going through a tough time, Ed was the guy before the game who would go up to that person, who would go say something, who would put in a phone call. You know, and that is not an easy thing to do, and it's going out of your way. And I'm sure there's so many White Sox fans that who experienced it. We were on a subway once in New York City coming back from a game, and he saw this poor guy in a wheelchair who was having trouble getting off the subway at a platform. So Ed bounced up. This is about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, helps the guy, and then waves us all, there's three of us, off the train. He helped the guy get downstairs and put him on his way. That doesn't happen. People like that just don't exist. And when they do, and they happen to be your friend, and it happens to be somebody that you spend a lot of time with, that rubs off on you, because you just see the very good in a person like that. And it just makes you want to try real hard to be them. And I know that's what it did for me. I mean, he rubbed off on me in a big way, because winning and losing were a big deal for Ed Farmer. But being a good person, being compassionate, being kind, that was the epicenter of Ed Farmer. And when you were around him and when you were with him, you were better off in his presence, because his laughter, his kindness, it just made your world a little bit better. I mean, I'm crushed. I'm just like, I had so many great experiences with this guy and so many just outbursts of laughter. And then I get this call this morning, and I'm just going to choose to celebrate his life, because the last couple calls I had, I could tell it wasn't good, but I refuse to be just sad thinking about Ed Farmer, because it wouldn't be right. Ed Farmer made you happy, and the fans need to know that the guy they would turn on and listen to, that was exactly him. He cared so much about the team, and he cared so much about people, and I love the fact that it showed in everything he did.
Dan Evans, I'm sorry for your loss, and I am happy that you were able to say we really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks to both of you. And Danny, good talking to you. Haven't chatted for a long time. You've always been one of my favorite media guys there, so thanks a bunch for the phone call. I appreciate it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.